Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to get into our word now. We've got a few people joining us online as well. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Daniel. I've got the joy of serving with the team here at Harvest Hills Church. See, as I was preparing this message, I was seeking God and I was asking God, God, last week it was amazing. We saw quite a lot of people getting baptized and giving their life to Jesus, and some recommitted in their life to Jesus. It was such a powerful service. God, what do you want me to bring this week? And as I was seeking God and as I was scrolling through different scriptures, God reminded me of the message that I preached a few months ago. And I thought, God, I've already preached this message. Why do you want me to preach it again? And I really felt that there was going to be people in this room today that needed to hear these things, that needs to hear some of the things that God put in my heart. You see, I believe each and every one of us, we have potentials. I believe each and every one of us, we're gifted in areas, and God has given us abilities, and God has given us talents and things that only we can do. And however, the sad news is most of us, we don't understand what God's given us. And in some ways, we even misuse these gifts, and in some ways, we even misvalue what God's gave us. And I want to remind each and every one of us this afternoon that what you have is significant. What you have is significant. Don't look to your left or to your right. Just focus on what God has given you. Focus on what God has given you. And this is your race. This is your run. And walk in the ministry God has for you. Amen. And today I want to speak to us about five spiritual principles we can learn from the life of Paul. Five spiritual principles we can learn from the life of Paul. See, now when we look at the life of Paul, we know that before he was named Paul, he was named Saul. And looking at his background in Acts, book of Acts, we see that Saul was a very vicious man. He was a very zealous man. He was very zealous about his tradition, and he was very zealous about what was happening in his time. And he was very firm follower of Judaism. And when we look at his life, he was commissioned to go and stop this new believing group, the Jesus followers. He was commissioned to stop spreading this message. So he gets this task to go to Damascus. And on his way to Damascus, he has this radical encounter with Jesus Christ that changes everything for him. You see, his Damascus experience changes not only his beliefs, but his Damascus experience changes his behavior as well. Amen. And I firmly believe our beliefs should always bring about change, not just in our beliefs, but also in our behaviors. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to look from verse 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to go through verse 24 to 27. I'm going to read it out. This is what it says. Do you not know that in a race all runners run? I was reminded of the scripture this morning after seeing that post. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And as I saw that post this morning on my Facebook, I was reminded that we're all in this race together. And do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? And he says, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Reginaldo, he wasn't someone who was running aimlessly. He had a vision. He was running aim with aim. And he says, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No. I strike a blow to my body. Imagine that. I struck a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I had preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Amen. And I love this passage of scripture because Paul here is being very honest, but Paul here is also being very brutal in terms of his own lifestyle. You see, when you look at the story of Paul, we see the things that he achieved. We see the things he had accomplished. When we read the New Testament, a lot of letters in the New Testament were actually written by this very same character. And when we look at his story, five principles that we can get out of this scripture is this. The first principle I'd like to share with us this afternoon is this. Discipline your life have boundaries. Discipline your life have boundaries. Paul makes it very clear in this passage of scripture. He says, I don't run like someone aimlessly. He says, I beat my body. I strike a blow to my body. In other words, he makes his body listen to God. In other words, he trains his body so much so that he does not submit to his body, but he makes his body submit to the will of God. Amen? So the first principle today is this. We have to discipline our life. We have to discipline our life. You see, I understand that bringing a big discipline is going to be different, and it's just going to be challenging, it's going to be difficult. But let's be honest, we have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. James Clear, in his book Atomic Habits, he says, tiny changes will bring remarkable results. Amen. Tiny changes will bring remarkable results. In other words, it's about getting 1% better every day. It's about making one step forward every day. It's about taking a step forward every day. You see, when we look at the scriptures in the book of Acts, when Jesus ascended to heaven, and now the disciples are having to wait for the Holy Spirit, and the scripture reminds us that when disciples were waiting for the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, they were devoted to, first and foremost, apostles' teaching. Yeah. And they were devoted to fellowship. Yeah. Thirdly, they were devoted to breaking of bread. And fourthly, they were devoted to prayer. That's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So in other words, they disciplined themselves. Devotion also means discipline. They disciplined themselves to the apostles' teaching. And where did the apostles get their teaching from? Jesus himself. So in other words, they were devoted to the word of God. In other words, they made their body, they made their life submit to the word of God. And for us, right now more than ever, we have to devote ourselves to the Word of God. We have to discipline our life so much so that our life gets governed by the Word of God, not by the media or by the world. There is so much negativity. So many people are flicking on the television at the moment and feeding their lives with so many negativity, so much fear, that people are struggling. They are struggling so much so that people even are afraid to go to shop because of this coronavirus. But we need to understand that the Word of God teaches us, first and foremost, to trust in Him alone. That the Word of God teaches us that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Let me say that again. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Coronavirus has nothing on you. Coronavirus has nothing on you. We have to declare it. We have to declare it. Yes, there are some measures of prevention that we need to take, but at the same time, we need to live by faith. We need to live by faith. We don't need to live in fear. We don't. Yes, it's happening all across the world, but what Pastor Andrew was saying earlier on, when all these things came over Egypt, the spirit of death and everything, when it all came to Egypt, nothing happened to the people of God. Nothing happened to the people of God. And it reminds me to that preach that Stephen preached a few weeks ago about when I see the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to understand that you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, all of a sudden, when the blood is in you, you are cleansed. And you have this power in you that no harm will ever come upon you. Thousands will fall. 10,000 will fall, says Psalm 91. But nothing will touch you. Nothing will harm you. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching. We have to believe the Word of God. We have to believe the Word of God. We've been quoting the Word of God for years. We've been quoting the Word of God for months. But now it's time for us to believe the Word of God. Amen. Each and every one of us, we can quote thousands of scriptures, but it's not your belief, but it's your behavior. When we believe the Word of God, we begin to walk in the Word of God. You see, when Peter was walking in the water, he wasn't walking in the water, he was walking in the Word. Yeah. Amen? He was walking in the Word of God because Jesus said to him, come, and that's why he took the Word and he walked on the water. He walked on the water and they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and they devoted themselves to fellowship. That's where accountability comes in. We have to align ourselves. We have to connect ourselves to fellowship. And thirdly, breaking of bread. There is power in breaking of bread. But when we consider the breaking of bread, there's two principles we need to consider. Examine and remember. When we break the bread, we examine our hearts, don't we? So in other words, what he's saying is, you and me, we have to examine our hearts. There are areas in our life that God wants us to really work towards. There are areas in our life where God wants to strengthen us. There are areas in our life where God really wants to help us. But it's completely up to us. Are we going to let Him do that work in us, or are we going to run away from Him? Because He's highlighting issues of our hearts. And that's why it's so important for us to examine our hearts daily. But at the same time, it's important for us to remember that the Lord is good. Remember that the Lord is good. There are days you will fall. There are days I will fall. There are days I will make mistakes. There are going to be days you are going to make mistakes. But it's in them days we have to run to God, knowing that He's good and His grace and mercy endures forever. Amen. And fourthly, to prayer. Now is the time more than ever we have to commit ourselves strongly to prayer. We have to pray to God. And it's just, it saddens me, like, when we consider this whole area of prayer, we take it so religiously. I don't pray to God because I have to pray to God. No, I pray to God because I want to pray God. I pray to God because I know prayer is my only communication with God. I need prayer because prayer, first and foremost, brings my petition to the Lord, but at the same time, prayer changes me. Prayer empowers me. Prayer encourages me. Prayer reminds me that the Lord is good. And when I'm praying, I'm quoting scriptures. I'm like, nothing is ever going to separate me from the love of God. I'm quoting scriptures. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. I'm quoting scriptures. I'm more than a conqueror, and that's that. Nothing can change that. I'm quoting scripture. If God is for me, then who can be against me? I'm quoting scripture. If God is with me, then I can climb this mountain and I can overcome every struggles that comes my way. I can do it. Amen? And you can do it as well, church. And me and Leisha, we have this discipline in our life where we pray first thing in the morning and we pray before we go to bed. And when I say prayer, we have our little devotion time. So we get our guitars, we sing songs, and we go through scripture, we pray, and then we do that every morning and every evening, pretty much every day. And now we've made it so much of our discipline that even after prayer meetings, we go to home and we still do that. And if we don't do it, we struggle going to bed because we feel like, oh, something's missing. You know, now it's become part of us. And the reason we were able to do that is because we brought tiny changes in our lives. We had to start somewhere. You and me, church, we have to start somewhere, because prayer is the only thing that's going to change us, and that's going to change the area, and that's going to change the world. And as believers, as body of Christ, I think we have to pray to God. I believe now more than ever, we have to cry out to God for this nation. Now more than ever, we have to cry out to God, saying, God, please help this people in this area. God, please help us. Lord, please strengthen us, Lord. Please, God, encourage us. God, please empower us, Lord, God, to do Your will here in Intake and here in Doncaster more than ever. Amen. We have to discipline our life. Second principle is this: run with the vision. Paul, he had a vision. He had a vision. Martin Luther King, he said, I have a vision. And his vision was to break racial segregation. You know, Jesus, he said, he had a dream. And his dream was to save all of humanity and reconcile them back to Father. Paul, he had a dream. And his dream was to preach the gospel and make Jesus known. And what is your dream? I want to ask you this afternoon. What is your vision? Proverbs 29 verse 18 says this: without vision, people perish. Without vision, people perish. You know, when I went to Bible college, I took on the advice that was given to me before I left Teen Challenge. I was working for Teen Challenge for a few months, and before I left Teen Challenge, I took heed the advice of one of the directors from Teen Challenge. And what he said to me was, he was like, Daniel, be very intentional about your friends. Daniel, be very intentional about your circle. And I took on that advice, and I can honestly say, being very intentional about my circle has helped me. Being very intentional about people I hang about with has helped me. You know, people say walk with like-minded people, don't they? But I want to say, yeah, it's true. We have to walk with like-minded people, but more than that, we have to walk with high-minded people. Amen? High-minded people. What I mean by that, people who will challenge your thinking. People who will challenge your lifestyle. It's so easy for us to sit with our comfortable people, with our comfortable area, but I want to challenge each and every one of us something on this afternoon. Don't run away from people who challenges you. Don't run away from leaders who challenge you. Because them challenges are there for a reason. Leader, if they see something in you, they will challenge you on something. The reason why they challenge you is because they care for you, because they love you, because they want you to grow in your journey, because they want you to grow in your spiritual journey. And that's why I believe it's so important for us to grasp hold of this vision, knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. Amen. Knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You are not just saved just for the sake of being saved. You are saved for a purpose. You are saved for a reason, because the call of God is upon your life. And you might be running from this call of God, but the fact is, like, you'll just go running around in circles, because sooner or later you'll have to come in that place of obedience to the call of God. When we look at the story of Jonah, he was running from the call that was in his life. God called him to go to Nineveh and to preach the message, but he refused. And when he refused, he was thrown out of this boat, out of this ship. And when he was thrown out of this ship, you know, the fish got him and spat him out and took him to Nineveh. And finally, he gave in to the call of God. Yeah. And I want to encourage each and every one of us. You have a call of God on your life. Maybe God's challenging you to step up in some of the areas of your life. Maybe God is challenging you to step up in the area of your faith. Maybe God is challenging you to perhaps forgive some of the people that you haven't fully forgiven. Maybe God is challenging you to perhaps rise up and take on this challenge of following Jesus wholeheartedly and following the call that's always been upon your life. And I want to encourage each and every one of us. We have to be obedient to the call of God in our lives. We have to. Third principle, embrace the challenges, don't run away from them. Embrace the challenges, don't run away from them. You see, you cannot grow if you run away from the challenges. Jonah was running, but not, like, it's just like he was running away from God. And sometimes we run away from God because God challenges us in some of the areas of our lives, and God wants us to take heed His word of God. God wants us to give in to His will, but it's just us, we run away from God. And the reason we run away from God is because sometimes we feel like we're not good enough. We run away from God because sometimes we feel like we're not equipped enough. But I want to encourage us, God calls you, then He equips you. God does not call the equipped ones. He calls you, and when you give in to His calling, He then equips you. Amen? He then equips you. Don't let the challenges throw you off track. Challenges are there to draw us closer to God. It's part of the process. You see, all the obstacles are actually an opportunity to grow. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says this, "Let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Maybe this is a word for some of you this afternoon. Let us not be weary in doing good. Maybe some of us, we've been so weary in doing good that we're just thought, you know, what's the point of carrying on? But I want to encourage us, let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time. I don't know when our proper time is, but the scripture encourages, at the proper time, amen? At the proper time, you will reap a harvest. But there's condition to it, if you do not give up. Amen. You will reap a harvest if you do not give up. I will reap a harvest if I do not give up. But whatever happens, we have to run towards God. We have to trust in Him alone. See, when the disciples, when they were crossing over to the other side, what happened? They were all in this boat together, and all of a sudden there was a ferocious storm that came about. And because of the storm, all the disciples, they were panicking. They were like, hold on, Jesus is not in the boat anymore. Jesus said he's going to see us there. Where is Jesus? They were all panicking, and they're all crying out to God saying, Jesus, where are you? And all of a sudden Jesus walks on the water, and all the disciples go, hold on, we've got a ghost over there. They're all panicking, ghost, and some of the disciples recognize Jesus, and he goes, oh, hold on, it's not a ghost, it's Jesus. And then Peter says to Jesus, if it's you, call me out. And Jesus says to Peter, come on, Peter. And what does Peter do? Peter obeys the Lord. And because Peter obeys the Lord, what happens? Peter ends up walking on the water. And we all dream about walking on the water, don't we? But for us to actually walk on the water, we have to take some steps of faith. We have to take that step of faith, and we have to trust God a lot. And right now, more than ever, we have to take that step of faith. We have to, church. We have to pray for our nation. We have to pray for our neighbors. We have to pray for our loved ones, because this whole thing about coronavirus is eating people up. A lot of people are having panic attacks because of coronavirus. A lot of people are becoming so anxious and so worried because of coronavirus. They've not got the symptoms or anything, but it's just they're just so paranoid at the moment. And we have to pray against the spirit of coronavirus in the name of Jesus. We have to pray against the spirit of depression in the name of Jesus, because this is one of the tools the enemy is using at the moment to cripple the church. And we're not having it, amen? We're not having it. This is one of the tools that the enemy is using right now to cripple the family. But we're not having it. As a church, we're going to stand up against it. We're going to pray it out in the name of Jesus, amen? We're going to walk by faith, and we're going to declare the goodness of God in this land. Upon this land, we're going to walk as a church, and we're going to declare freedom, the freedom of God. Upon this land, we're going to declare freedom in the name of Jesus. Upon our loved ones, upon our families, upon our neighbors, upon all the people in Doncaster and all across the world, we have to declare it by faith, knowing that God is for us. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? The scripture is very clear. If God is for you, then who can be against you? The scripture is very clear. Trust in the Lord and do not lean on your own understanding. And that is what's happening. We are leaning too much on our own understanding. My understanding will tell me, listen, Dan, don't go to church. My understanding will tell me, listen, Dan, don't you be going out. My own understanding will tell me loads of things. But my faith in Jesus Christ tells me, listen, Daniel, go out because I am with you. My faith in Jesus Christ tells me, listen, Daniel, you are surrounded by so many sickness, but do not fear because I am your healer. My faith in God tells me, listen, Daniel, there are so many dry grounds at the moment, but don't worry, because I am your prospering God, and I will prosper you, and I will favor you, and I will be with you wherever you go. Amen? Amen. And that's what it's all about when we talk about walking by faith. Praying in the name of Jesus, good, but now it's time for us to pray and walk in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now it's time for us to believe and put things in right perspective. You see, when we go to opticians, I wear my contact lenses, but I've stopped wearing my contact lenses because it was giving me lots of dry eye. So I've gone back to wearing my glasses. I've still got my contact lenses, but I wear my glasses. And what happens is, before I started wearing my glasses, I thought my vision was okay. I thought my vision was perfect. So when I went to opticians and they prescribed me glasses, I'm thinking, my eyes are fine. And why do you want me to wear glasses? But the optician said, listen, if you don't wear your glasses, your eyes are going to go weak, and you'll be on even heavy prescription. I was like, oh, okay then. So I started wearing my glasses, and I didn't used to like wearing glasses. So every now and again, I'd take them off, and I'd wear them back, take them off, wear them back. But I remember my first ever day I got my glasses. Okay, I sat down, and the optician gave me the glasses. Okay, and before that, I mean, they put all these different lenses, don't they? And I remember, like, him going through all these different lenses. And when he got to the right lenses, I was like, wow, my goodness. I mean, I can see clearly now. I can see now. And that Do you know, when it happened, that made me realize how blind I was before I started wearing my glasses. Do you know, so when I don't wear my glasses, I don't see a thing. But when I wear, that's why I wear my glasses. And sometimes, you know, the Word of God is very similar to us. When we first come to Jesus Christ, it's like we wear these glasses of faith. And when we love the Lord, we trust in the Lord, we're like, oh, this is amazing. But when something happens to us, all of a sudden, we trust in our own understanding and I can't see a thing. I can't see anything. I don't know what's happening because I can't see anything. I can't walk properly because I might fall, I might trip on something. I can't see anything. And that's why when we're walking in this journey together, we have to make sure that we have got the right glasses and right lenses. Amen. And these lenses are called the Word of God. Amen. These lenses are called the Word of God. That's why we have to wear the Word of God. We have to put on the Word of God. We have to eat the Word of God. We have to digest the Word of God. We have to take baths in the Word of God. Anything that we do, we have to do it in the Word of God. Amen. Now, more than ever. Embrace the challenges. Don't run away from them. Church, let's not run away. Let's not run away. Let's embrace the challenges. We have to believe in the Lord. And sometimes people might think, oh, like, you know, that's a bit too radical. But listen, hey, Jesus has called us to be radical. Yeah. We have to be radical followers of the Lord. Amen. And fourth principle, ask for help. Don't let the pride hold you back. Ask for help. Don't let the pride hold you back. You see, pride will keep us away from people. Not only that, but pride will stop us from learning. Because pride will make us, I know it all. I have it all. I'm all person. And sadly, I've seen many good people fall because of this very thing, because they were struggling, and because of the pride they weren't able to share their struggles with others, and because of that they burned out and the pressure was so heavy that it was too much for their souls to carry. And sometimes we get so carried away with worries, pressures, anxieties, and hurry that we begin to walk around with different masks on just because we're struggling. And we wear this Sunday mask, you know, we're fine, I'm fine, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Then we wear this Monday mask when I'm going to work, and we walk around with different masks on, and in the process of wearing this different mask, we forget who we really are. And I firmly believe now, this whole pandemic has really shown us who we really are. This whole pandemic has really shown the world its real state. This pandemic has really shown that the science hasn't got all the answers. This pandemic has really shown us that media hasn't got the full news. But the thing that remains constant is the Word of God. It hasn't changed. And it will never change. The Word of God remains firm. And the Word of God reminds us that king and kingdoms will fall. King and kingdoms will fall. And that's why when we look at Matthew chapter 6, it tells us that seek the kingdom of God. Seek the king alone. And we have to seek the king. We have to seek God. And because I think we seek after other things of the kingdom, we miss out on the real blessing that is knowing our King. Because we run after the things of the kingdom, we run after the things of the blessings, we run after healing and all other things, we forget the healer. And I think now God is calling His church back to Him. However you want to take it, but I firmly believe this is a very prophetic word. God is calling His church to Him, and the church who will hear His voice and the church who will return to Him is going to have a supernatural anointing. Amen. And that anointing is going to be so powerful, it's going to change the nation. Amen. But sadly, a lot of churches are not listening to the voice of God. A lot of churches are not operating in the realm of faith. A lot of churches are happy with their same routine. A lot of churches are just happy with producing loud music and just jumping around outside the tent. But I believe God wants to call His church to the Holy of Holies. And as we begin to step into that place of Holy of Holies, God wants to empower His church for His work. because the church has always been about serving the king, not running after the things of the kingdom. But I don't know how we've miscalculated the whole thing and we've made it about the blessings rather than about the king himself. The church has always been there to serve the king. The church has always been there to worship the king. The church has always been there to praise the king. But now we get messages all about the kingdom. If you come to Jesus, your life will be blessed. If you come to Jesus, you will get double portion, this and the other. It's all true, yes. But if that's taken, if that is the only reason why we're worshiping Jesus, then perhaps we have to change our perspective. Perhaps we have to rethink and rework some of the areas in our life in terms of why are we following Jesus. And the fact that each and every one of us, we sat here this afternoon, shows that we have this genuine desire to follow God. The fact that each and every one of us, we've made that commitment of coming to church and saying to God, God, I love you and I want to worship you, shows that there's a genuine desire within us to worship the King alone. Amen. And it shows that we're not here just for the blessings. We're here to worship the King. And I firmly believe a time is coming, and the time is now, where the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to stand firm and worship the King alone. Amen. Worship the King alone. Amen. Yes. Worship the King alone. Fifth principle is this: motivate yourself and others around you. Motivate yourself and others around you. And the other sad thing is, I see so many in the church falling into the trap of comparison and competition. And I'm talking about the leadership all across the world. And church is not about comparison, church is not about competition. We're not here to compete with one another. Flintwood Methodist Church, I mean, they've been great support to us, and we as a church, we work together as one. The way we see it, we see Flintwood and Harvest Fields Church as one church of Jesus Christ in Inte. That's the way we see it. And it's just, there is so much comparison and competition going in the world. It's just unreal. The whole thing about who is a better preacher, who is a better worship leader, and even when I was at Bible college, you know, there used to be like different talks with our group: who's a better preacher, who's a better worship leader, this and the other. And I'm thinking, listen, man, we've got it all wrong. This isn't about who is a better preacher, who is a better worship leader. This is about the King Himself. Never mind who's a better preacher, who isn't better, this and the other. It's about King. If they're helping people to know Jesus Christ, and that's it. If they're helping people to connect with the presence of God, then that's it. See, comparison brings in a lot of insecurity and a lot of jealousy. We are called not to compare, but we are called to build one another up. We are called to build one another up. Amen? As a church, we are called to build one another up. Can you imagine the type of church we will be? Can you imagine the type of church in the whole world? Can you imagine the type of church we will be if everybody was busy building one another up? Amen. Can you imagine the type of family we would be if everybody was busy motivating one another up? Yeah. That family will be an amazing family. Amen. That community will be an amazing community. That church will be an amazing church. See, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, in her book Switch On Your Brain, she writes, every morning when you wake up, new baby nerve cells have been born, which are called neurogenesis. And these cells are used in tearing toxic thoughts and rebuilding healthy thoughts. And it happens in our brains all the time. So every time we focus in, when we're reading the Word of God, every time when we're opening up the Scriptures, what thou do is thou give birth to these new cells, and they're called neurogenesis. And what they do is they tear down all the toxic thoughts in our brains, and they build healthy thoughts. And that's why the Word of God tells us, take every thought captive. And also renew your minds by reading the Word of God. Renew your minds by meditating on the Word of God. Renew your minds by proclaiming the Word of God. See, we cannot control what people say to us. People will have always things to say about you, but what we can control is what happens inside of us, how we respond and how we react. And right now there is a lot of things happening around us, and a lot of voices are saying, listen, this is going to happen to you, that is going to happen to you, this is going to happen to you, that is going to happen to you. And it's just because of all these voices, what they're doing is they're giving birth to toxic cells. And the more when we watch television, the more we're giving birth to toxic cells. And what they're doing is they're tearing down all the good cells, and all of a sudden you have a brain full of toxic cells. But I praise God for the Word of God. Every time when we read the Word of God, it's giving birth to neurogenesis. New cells. And that's where when we focus on the Word of God, what that does is that eats up all the negative cells in our brains, and all of a sudden it gives us a good healthy mindset, a good healthy thought. Amen? So as I was saying earlier on, Martin Luther King, he said, I have a dream, and his dream was to crush racial segregation. Jesus had a dream, and his dream was to save all of humanity and to reconcile them to the Father. Paul had a dream to preach the gospel and to make Jesus known. And what is your dream? What is your dream? My dream is I want to see people of Intake worshipping Jesus.
Amen.
That's my only dream. I want to see people in Intake coming to church worshipping Jesus. I want to see this church so full of worshipers that we have to build extensions. I want to see all the churches in Intake being so filled with people that we'll have to build more churches in the area. I want to see Doncaster becoming a place of God's people. I want to see Doncaster becoming a place where all the people will worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want to see England becoming a different nation. I want to see England becoming a nation that worships the Lord and fears the Lord. I want to see the whole of the world worshiping Jesus with one voice saying that Jesus is Lord. That is my dream. Jesus is Lord. And if you want your dream to be fulfilled, follow the dream.
Yeah.
And what's the dream? Then five principles. These stands for discipline your life. These stands for discipline your life. R stands for run with the vision. Don't look to your left or to your right. Run with the vision. Follow the Word of God. E stands for embrace challenges. Don't run away from them. Challenges will come your way. Don't run away from them. A stands for ask for help. Every time I'm struggling, I go to Andrew and Grace, and I tell them what's happening with me, and I can trust them. And every time I'm struggling, I also go to God. We have to go to God first and foremost. Amen. We go to God, then I go to my leaders. And M stands for motivate yourself. Motivate yourself. There are going to be days where you don't feel like doing whatever you're doing. But like I said earlier on, the scripture reminds us, let us not be weary in doing good. Let us not be weary in doing good. For in due season, we will reap a harvest. Church, let us not be weary in doing good. For in due season, we will reap a harvest. Five principles, D-R-E-A-M, dream. Follow them. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Jesus, we worship you.